So we are in Nehemiah Perek Hey, Chapter 5, still dealing with economics. And we get to a part of the Perek, which is something we talked about in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah, but now we're going to see it inside. Remember, this is the Perek in which, as we began, the Jews completely ignore the fact that they're trying to build a wall, completely ignore the fact that they're defending themselves against Samaritan attack, and focus instead on an internal problem, the problem of grave poverty. Four different groups complain to Nehemiah about their personal state. They have mortgaged their fields, they are broke, their children have been sold as slaves in order to survive. There's a terrible problem of national poverty. And Nehemiah first turns to the wealthy and rebukes them. There's a public rebuke as part of this. They sort of shrug and they don't have anything they can say back to him. And then in Pasuk Tes, in sentence 9, if you're using the Stone Tanakh, you want page 1847, in chapter 5, sentence 9, he said, we need to deal with this problem, and the way we're going to deal with this problem is we are going to nullify all outstanding debts. That's what we're going to do. We're going to nullify all the outstanding debts, and everybody starts from scratch, which, as we noted last time, economically this can be a very bad move because it removes any incentive for people to lend money.
Can I ask you a question? So these very wealthy people, I presume, loan money to very poor people. That's the only way it would make sense, because in nullifying debts, it meant the people who loaned the money. I didn't need the money.
Correct.
I mean, if I loan somebody money, it could be the fact that it could be the case that I need that money back myself.
Correct.
So that old maxim about don't lend money to anybody if you need that money.
Don't lend money that you can't afford to lose.
You can't afford to lose. It must be the case.
Yes. Yeah. No, that would seem to be the case. Now, if you accept Ibn Ezra's idea that this was a Shemitah year, then that changes the way you look at the story. It also changes which debts were being nullified. Meaning, if this nullification is simply that we have a law in the Torah, the law says that debts are nullified in the Shemitah year every 7 years, only certain debts are canceled. It isn't true that Shemitah cancels all debts. Shemitah cancels all debts which are owed, which are already owed, which have already come due. In other words, if Rosh Hashanah, the beginning, really it's the end of the Shemitah year that nullifies it. So if Rosh Hashanah at the end of the Shemitah year is this coming, I'm making up a date, is this coming October 1st, any debts that were owed, that were payable before October 1st, and the person defaulted and didn't pay, that's what's going to be nullified. But let's say there is a debt that has a 5-year period on it, and the repayment date is actually October 2nd. That does not get canceled this coming Rosh Hashanah. It's only debts that are past due. That's the term I was looking for. Only debts that are past due will be nullified. Yeah. There is no interest. There is no interest. You're not allowed to charge interest.
So it's a principal.
It's all principal. That's correct. The interest is already out the window. So that's if you take Ibn Ezra's view. However, if you take the other view, which, you know, I think is basically everybody else, he's canceling all outstanding debts. Not just debts that are already past due, but any loan that has been extended, you're not getting it back. That's it. And he declares this as a covenant and as a curse upon them. Now, it seemed like everybody accepted this from Nehemiah. Meaning, they all nodded their head yes when he said it. And then he brought in the Kohanim and had the special oath, which was either the oath for the Kohanim to swear or the oath that the Kohanim administered for the population. But it seems like everybody's going along. But I should note that we don't actually know. Meaning, the text never says, and they forgave the loans. We will not revisit this story in the future to, you know, one way or the other, for Nehemiah to say, hey, you're not forgiving the loans, or, and they actually did forgive, we don't know. Later on in the book, we're going to have a situation in which Nehemiah actually issues a decree, and it doesn't take, and then he has to come back to it again. So you could really read this and say, on the one hand, from the fact that it doesn't say they forgave the loans, that means he didn't succeed. Or you could say, from the fact that he didn't come back to it later on, that means that he did. I don't know. We're not given enough evidence to work with. Instead, we shift in Pasuk Yadalit in sentence 14 to talk about Nehemiah personally. And this is Nehemiah's self-defense, as I worded it on the sheet. And this is going to go back to a point we made a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Jewish leaders and money and the problem of fear that they are influenced by those who enrich them, fear that they may have achieved their wealth through dishonest means, taking advantage of their position. Maybe their lead is specifically in order to enrich themselves. That's all, you know, the story of Korach's accusation that Moshe is taking everything for himself and his family. That type of a concern is all subtext within this within Nehemiah's speech that he's about to give. Janina Menalina.
So according to Ibn Ezra, Nehemiah was not telling them to be kind. He was telling them to just keep the law.
Obey the law. I mean, it happens to be a reaction to people who are complaining. But yes, he wasn't demanding special kindness. He was demanding just do what God expects of you.
And that's kind of funny because when he included himself, it sounds
well, that's then. Well, either you could read it as he's including himself and I've been doing something wrong, or, frankly, he's saying, and look, since the Shemitah year is here, I'm nullifying my debts as well. I'm observing the law. It doesn't mean that he had done something wrong previously then. Alina, you were going to say.
Oh, it just says at the end, it says, Vayasa am kadabar hazet. It seems as if they said they had done it. So I'm just wondering when you're saying, you're asking, you know,
so you're saying Vayasam Kadavar Hazeh is the statement that they actually did it? Yeah, no, I hear you. So maybe I'm just cynical because of what I see happen later in the book. But you're right. Maybe Vayasam Kadavar Hazeh works. Yeah. Okay. I'll accept that. Yes. Okay. So let's see what Nehemiah then says about himself in Pasuk Yadalid. Gam miyom asher tziva osi liyos pecham be'eretz Yehuda. From the day that he commanded me, he being King Artaxasta, commanded me to be pecham. Pecham is the pacha. It's the same term. In the land of Judea, Mishnas Esrim, from the 20th year of his reign, when I first showed up, V'ad Shnas Shloshim U'Shtayim L'Artachshasta HaMelech, and to the year 32 of his reign, Shanim Shneim Esrei, 12 years, Ani V'Achai Lechem HaPecha Lo Achalti. My brothers and I, and remember brothers, as we've explained earlier in this, in Nehemiah's, you know, general narrative, is not brother, you know, genealogically, it means my allies. We never ate the bread of the Pecha, meaning we were entitled to special privileges, special wealth, and we didn't take it. Keep in mind that the word bread need not be read literally. The word bread in Tanakh often just means food. Here, some will make a distinction in terms of saying he took certain things, but he didn't take bread, so we'll see that. But lechem ha-pecha could mean essentially the food that the pacha normally gets to take. He says, but those earlier pachas, the earlier leaders, hichbidu al ha'am, they really weighed down the nation. Vayikhumehem belechem vayayin achar kesef shkalim arbaim. They took from the nation bread, and they took wine after taking 40 shekel. So they got money. They took, and here it sounds like it's bread, just as in opposition to wine, but I can't say one way or the other. And they took wine. Gam na'arehem shaltu alam, their youths also lorded it over the nation. Vanilo asisichen, I didn't do that. Mipnei yiras Elokim, because of reverence for God, fear of God. V'gam b'mlechas hachama azos hechzachti. And I also was machazik. I held on to, or I strengthened myself in, or I strengthened others in, the work on the wall. V'sadeh lo kaninu. We did not buy any fields. V'chol ne'arai kvutzim sham al hamalacha. And all of my youths were there working on the wall. Vahayudim vahasiganim. We're going to read through to the end of the parak, and then we'll come back to these psukim. There's a lot to ask about here. Vahayudim vahasiganim, and the rank and file Jews, as well as the siganim, the deputies of the pacha, me'av v'chamishim ish, 150 men. V'habayim eleinu min hagoyim asher svivoseinu, as well as all the people who came to us from the nations around us, al shulchani, they all ate at my table. So here I am, not taking anything from the community, and I'm feeding my servants, my deputies, the people coming in from the nations, everybody is all on my tab. Vasher hayana asen. If you want to know what that tab looked like, he says, Vasher hayana asel yom echad. You know, it was done for one day. Shor echad, an ox, tzon. This is a little tricky, but I believe the way to read it is tzon sheish buros, six choice cattle, or six choice sheep, I should say. Very cheap. Vitziporim nasuli, as well as birds. All of this was prepared for me. Uvena seres yamim bechol yayin laharbe. And there are different ways to read this clause, but reading this clause the way that Ibn Ezra, Mitzudat David, that Mikra, they all read it, is that every 10 days I had to provide a lot of wine. Rashi says it was 10 days worth of wine each day. So there was a lot of drinking going on. This is the Persian Empire, after all. And with all this, lechem apecha lo vikashti. I did not demand the bread of the pecha, ki chavda avoda al ha'am hazeh, because this would have been very difficult for everybody to support. I didn't want to make it difficult, so I spent for 12 years on these feasts and meals. And he concludes, Zachra li Elokai l'tova, God, remember this for me for the good, kol asher asisi ala amazeh, everything I did for this nation. There's clearly a complex here. There's clearly a sense that he needs to defend himself. Right? Why does he need to defend himself? What is this whole section doing here?
Well, they need to find why he's asking everybody else to pitch in.
Good. Right? Because he's making this big demand on the nation. Right? Not only that, if you take a look at your sheet, take a look at source number one. Mitzudat David makes the point that we just said, as Alina noted, that they all went along with this. Right? So Nehemiah is now saying, you know why they went along with it? He says, Gama tova zos asisi im Yisrael, I did this good thing for the Jews as well. Ki me'esa asher tziva melech osi lios Moshe lahem beretz Yehuda, for from the time that the king commissioned me and so on, I did this. In other words, what he's... I'm sorry, I meant to quote you Malbim for your point. Mitzudat David just says, this is another good thing I did for the nation. In addition to the way I helped them with their finances by abolishing the debts, I also did this. Malbim is the one who makes the point that Dalia was making in number two. Shalo levad sheitiv la'aniyim. Not only did he help the needy, he also didn't burden the wealthy, because who would it have been who would have paid for these meals? This wasn't going to come out of the people who have no money. This would have been a special tax for the wealthy. So,
really rich,
yes. Yeah, he's doing all right, the king's cupbearer of the Persian Empire. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, is that he left. You say that came out of his own pocket. Really, it's coming out of his benefactor. He is on this extreme salary to keep the Jews under control.
Well, we don't know what his salary is, though.
Well, we know it has to be pretty large. It says that.
Or he has an estate. That's the other possibility. I don't know. I mean, either one is legitimate, but from his perspective, the point isn't, I have the means to do this myself. The point is, I could have saved everything that I have and taken it from you. Right? Because that's always the way people look at it. It's never about, I had the means to do this. It's always, I funded this myself instead of taking what I could have from everybody else. But I think that's what he's picking up on here is he didn't burden the wealthy, v'lachein shamu l'kolo, and that's why they listened when it came to the debt relief, because he had credit with them for the fact that he had not demanded of them that they support this. But yeah, it could be that he's getting a salary. I just I don't know. So I think there are actually three ways to look at this. One way is Mitzudat David, who just says, here's another good thing I did for the nation. I did debt relief. And I also I also didn't burden them with funding my hosting responsibilities. Malbim says what it's doing here is to explain why the wealthy listened. The other way you could look at this, though, I want to go back to the point that we made in introducing the parak, is that Nehemiah is trying to make clear that he doesn't favor anybody, including himself. No one can claim anything from me. I don't owe anybody anything. And I've gone to extreme lengths to make sure that nobody could make any claim on me. So I think that's also a piece of this. So he says, we didn't take advantage of the bread of the pacha, which Rashi says he would have normally gotten out of a tax. Zakheim, of course, takes the opportunity to note that this is not what normally happens in governments, not then and not now. Normally, if you have an opportunity to take a benefit, that's what you do. But then he goes on. Look back at Pasuk Tedva, sentence 15. Does that bother you? Yeah. Ha, look at all those people before me. They took and took and took. And me, I'm a good guy.
I fear God.
Yeah. I feared God, precisely. So Ralbag, first...
Are they Jewish?
I mean, who was before him?
Right, so we'll come back to that in one second. I just want to note, Ralbag points out that the pasuk is a little bit vague here. Because sentence 15 said, they took bread and wine after 40 shekel. Right? 40 shekel of silver. But as Ralbag notes, I don't know what 40 shekel means. 40 shekel per what?
They say 40 shekels of silver here in Egypt.
Yeah, but...
They fill it in.
Right, but per what?
How often?
For what time frame?
For a year. For bread and wine was 40 shekels. So she's saying they use that to pay for the bread and wine.
Right, so he's reading it as the bread and wine expenditure. But take a look at number three, Ralbag, and Rashi is like this. Says, "After shalakhu mehem kesef shkalim arba'im." After they took the 40 shekel, and he says, "Lashana per year, ola chodesh could be per month, ola shavua, or most likely it's per week." Vuayosu nira, that appears correct. Hayulokhan odbav were lechem v'yayin shespik lotzasam. They also took, in addition to the 40 per week. I don't know why he thinks that the per week is the most reasonable. I don't know if he's going based on what a shekel could buy in his day. I don't know how to read it. But in terms of his statement, Dab, I didn't do it because I'm God fearing. What does he throw that in for?
Why is he aggrandizing himself? So, I mean, sounds like, I'm not kidding. Sounds like Donald Trump. Look at how wonderful I am. Look at how terrific I am.
Yeah, except that he's not guilty of anything.
No.
We're going to come back to your question, but keep in mind that that's the major difference between the two. Is that he's done nothing wrong. The other one says he's done nothing wrong. Sorry.
No, you don't fear. I think he's only making himself great in this particular area, in the sense of his justice or finances and burdening the people. He's not boasting about everything else he's done.
Although he is recording it.
Yeah.
He has recorded everything he's done and in detail.
But that's the only area that I've seen so far that sounds like that.
Right.
So
hang on. We're going to come back to it. But I think the Yiras Elokim, the point about his reverence for God, goes back to sentence 9. When he talked to the wealthy and said, you have to forgive the debts... Right? He said, "Bi'ras Elokeinu Telechu." You have to revere God. And we said back then, that's associated with the fact that in the Chumash, the Torah repeatedly says, when it talks about not taking advantage of the vulnerable, you should revere God. Even if they can't stop you, I can stop you. And therefore, there should be a God-fearing approach. I think that's what he's emphasizing here. I did that. I had this Yiras Elokim. We worked on the wall, he says in sentence 16, and we did not buy fields. So, I don't know what that means. Two different approaches. One approach is Mitzudat David. If you take a look at source number 4, There's a typo there where it says law. It should say wall. My mistake. The afa tova zos asisi. I also provided this benefit. Ki achazti b'meleches hachoma. I took hold of the work on the wall. Rotzelomar, meaning mizareiz ayisi es habonim leval yirpuyu dehem min hamalacha. I energized the builders. I wanted to make sure that they would not be weak. In which case, the way that Mitzudat David takes it, Rashi takes it this way, I gave them money for support. And I did not demand their field in response. When he says, I didn't buy a field, what he means by that is, I gave them money and didn't take their fields in response. If you think back to Yosef in Egypt, right, when the farmers are broke at the end of Parshas Vayigash, right? The farmers are broke and they come to him. He says, no problem. I'm going to provide you with seed. And your land is now the property of Paro. What Nehemiah does is he says, I provided them with the means to survive, and I did not take their land. That's the way Mitzudat David reads it. Ralbag has a different take. Ralbag says working, you know, grabbing on to the work means that he actually did the work in source number 5. V'gam b'mleches hachoma zos hechzakti, I also grabbed on to the work on the wall, l'hashlima b'chol oz, to fulfill it, to complete it full strength, v'yisasakti b'inyana, and I was involved in it. V'sadelo kaninu, and we didn't purchase any fields, yatza mimenu lechem chuki, meaning from which I could have gotten my bread every day, Kedeshul and Istarech Litroch Babadas HaSadeh, that we would need to work in the, so that we would not need to work in the fields. In other words, what he's saying is, I didn't invest in fields so that I would be available to work on the wall. So two different approaches to what he did. The first approach is, we supported the workers, we funded them, and we did not take their fields for our payment. Or Ralbag, we worked on the wall and we didn't speculate in land, but instead we just devoted ourselves to the wall. So he says, I spent a lot of money to support a lot of Jews, the officials in my government, as well as people who came to us from the nations. Who are the people who came to them from the nations? Right? The non-Jews who come to him. What is that? Yeah, so who is that? Who are the non-Jews who are visiting?
Wouldn't be someone
else. I don't know. I mean, can you imagine Sanballat sitting down at his table?
No.
We're going to see that in chapter 6. One way to read it is, these are non-Jews from the nations around to our emissaries who come in with diplomatic messages, who come to greet the new Pech. In the same way, go back to Malachim, right? Shlomo, Chizkiyahu, they get visited by non-Jews from other nations. So too, he's getting visited by other people he has to entertain. He has to hold a state dinner. Well, it doesn't sound like that. Like, the language sounds more like they're there in a palace type of a situation, right? What was the wording? It sounds not like foreign workers. It sounds like diplomats, maybe. But interestingly, Rashi and Mitzudat David both say these are gerim. These are people who convert to Judaism. That's the way that they read it. Okay? So he's providing these big feasts. And then he says, last sentence of the chapter, Zachrali Elokai Letova. God, remember for the good everything that I did. He likes this line. The last sentence of the book is also going to be Zachrali Elokai Letova. God, remember all this for me for the good. When we started Nehemiah, we noted source number 6, Gemara in Sanhedrin. Michti komili de Ezra Nehemiah ben Chakalia Amrinhu. Nehemiah recorded all of Ezra's deeds. Unechemia ben Chakalia, my time aloikri sifra al shemei. Why wasn't the book called the Book of Nehemiah? Right? We talked about this. The fact that the first half was called Ezra, and historically the whole thing was called Ezra. No one called it Nehemiah until the last few centuries. So why is that? Amar Yirmiyah Bar Abba, source number 6 here. Mibnei Shehechzik Tovala Atzma. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, because he said, am I not wonderful? He took credit for himself, and he quotes our verse, Zachrali Elokai L'Tava, remember for me, for the good God, Kol Asher Asisi Alam Hazeh, everything I did for this nation. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Bibnei Shesiper, Bignusan Shel Rishonim. Rabbi Yosef said, it's because he degraded his predecessors. And he quotes the other piece of this, right, that the ones who were before me, they took so much, and so on. The Aval Daniel Shagodol Mimenu Siper, he even spoke this way about Daniel, who was greater than him. So there. And then they go on to talk about Daniel. But here's the question. What is it that he is doing here? Is there a way to redeem Nehemiah? The question was asked before. I remember if it was Alina who asked it, or somebody, it was somebody in this area. I'm thrown off with this, different room, different table arrangement. It's hard to remember who said what. That's what it is. That was confusing me. The predecessors we're talking about are not Jewish, right? The predecessors we're talking about are not Jews. I mean, it's odd that the Gemara throws in Daniel. Daniel was not a Pachad. Daniel was a member of the court of Nebuchadnezzar, who then rose to become powerful in Bavel. And he's still powerful when Darius the Mede is in charge, and then he disappears. But we don't have any notion of him, fulfilling. The Pachad is a very specific position. One of the things that we run the risk of doing when we read the books from this era is glossing over words that have real meaning because we're not familiar with them. Meaning, when you read Megillas Esther, we don't know what Achashdarpanim, Achashdranim, and Bnei Ramachim are. They're just people with some level of power. We can call them all satraps and call it a day because we don't know what a satrap is either. But these actually were particular positions with particular powers, and the power of a pecha was to govern over a particular region. Daniel never was a pecha. No way, shape, or form. So my question is, you're criticizing him at this point because he criticized the non-Jewish pachas who were his predecessors, because we're not happy with him for holding himself as being greater than them, even those. As well as he seems to be holding himself over our leadership in general, if we're going to count Daniel in this mix, is there a way to redeem what Nehemiah is doing here?
Everything I did was for the sake of the people, not just my own grandiosity.
So, yes, but you're not supposed to say, "Aren't I great? I did all of this for you."
Is it a little reminiscent?
Exactly like Tovah.
Yeah.
The first Baruch Hu, remember me positively, because everything I did was for the people.
But you had to stick it in the book?
Why not? It's my book.
I did every prayer he had. It's my book. That's it. I don't understand.
Is it a little reminiscent of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he said, I can't quote, I'm not good at. But didn't he say something? I didn't take anyone's thing.
Right. So this takes us. Right. This takes us back to the introduction. No. This goes back to what we said when we introduced the chapter, which is Moshe did it with Korach. Shmuel did it when the Jews said, "We want a new leader." The statement of "I haven't taken anything from anybody." But it's a defensive statement. Well, it's a response to an allegation. In other words, Korach says, "Rav Lachem," right? Rav Lach, the Madua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem. Why do you hold it over everybody else? Rav Lachem is actually Moshe's response. But there's been an allegation made. Shmuel takes the request for a king as a statement of, you've been bad, Shmuel, we need to replace you. So if you take a look at your sheet, it's source number 7. I brought this in the beginning of the book, but now we understand more about the context and why this makes sense. Professor Moshe Tzvi Siegel in Encyclopedia Mikra'it says, Efshar shechiburo no'ad l'shamesh k'sav magein neged oivav harabim. It could be that his composition is meant to be a shield. Right? This is a shield against his many enemies. We know he's got enemies. He has enemies, the named ones from the nations around us, Sanballat, Gashmu, or Geshem, and people like that. But he also has enemies among the Jews, all the people who are the allies of those people from the Samaritans and so on, who are they married in with, who they were their supporters. So his memoir is actually a means to say, I was a good guy. That's what he's doing. Hence his regular prayer in this composition, Shashem Yizkor Lo L'Tavas Ma'asav HaTovim, for God to remember his good deeds, for him for the good, Ulai Vav Yizkor L'Ra'as Ma'asayim HaRa'im, and for his enemies, God should remember them for the worst. So what he's doing here is responding to his enemies. It's just that here we haven't heard the enemies explicitly. It's not like with Shmuel, it's not like with Moshe, where we know what they're responding to. But that's one way to justify what is here. He feels like he is under attack, and he needs to justify himself. That's one approach. Malbim has a very interesting different approach. Malbim says this is actually not a tefillah for himself, it's a tefillah for the nation. Take a look at source number 8. V'yesh lefaresh, you could explain, that he also wants God to remember this merit for him, lo ba'avuro, not for himself, rak kedei shezchus hazeh yizkor Hashem al ha'am hazeh. You have to read the sentence differently. It's a little bit of a creative read of the sentence, but Malbim likes doing that. Read the sentence. If you go back to 5:19 a second. Zachra li Elokai letova kol asher asisi. Remember for me, my God, for the good, everything I did. Remember it, al ha'am hazeh, for this nation. Meaning, going back to the Malbim, shezchus hatzadikim megin al ha'am, because the merit of the righteous protects the nation. So he rewrites this as a prayer on behalf of the nation. Exactly. That's exactly right. I have to admit that this is a stretch.
Put a colon in there.
Yeah.
Because of the leaves. The leaves are for leaving.
Yeah, that makes it hard. It is hard. Sorry?
I don't understand the way you read it, the leaning.
Yes. But as Joseph points out, Zachra li Elokai Litova. If you really meant it to be for the nation, it should have said Zachra Elokai Letova, not Zachra Li, remember it for me. It's a hard read, I have to say. And I think it's a hard read, for the same reason that the whole thing is strange to us. Do we hold this person up as a hero if he's, bent on making sure that we all thank him for what he's done? So, I can give Malbim's read. I could give the point that he's trying to defend himself, which I think holds a lot of water. We do see he has many enemies, and he feels that need to exonerate himself. At the same time, the Gemara is clearly too bothered by this.
It's more than one person that criticizes him.
Right. The Gemara is too troubled by this, and the Gemara says, we're not happy with him, and that's why we call this book Ezra. And we don't call it Nehemiah, because we don't like the fact they're not willing to take it out, but they are willing to criticize him for it.
Did Ezra sense the enemies in the same way?
Ezra doesn't seem to care, at least based on what we've seen of him so far. We only saw like a blip from Ezra. We had a couple of incidents. We saw him rally people to come. We saw him get the support of Artaxasta, who was Darius, who was very impressed with him. We saw him bring Karbanos and hold a big celebration, and then we saw him deal with the intermarriage issue, and then he disappeared. He's coming back, but you'll be in Israel. He is coming back.
He's not going to
Israel. Yeah, well, he's there. We don't know. At this point, we know more about Nehemiah than we do about Ezra. Realistically, we've seen prakim of Nehemiah. We saw a couple of prakim with Ezra. Okay. So, with that in mind, we'll now take a look at Perek Vav. Okay? But this Perek his means of taking care of the needy, his means of not burdening the community, and his statement of, you know, I did pretty good. I really took care of everyone.